morning, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Late for the Party, the show. Episode 7, Season 4, on Anchor FM. I am your host, Melodious, a.k.a. Cover Boy, the Modern Marvel, also known as the Madman, Harry LaBrea. That's right, you guys, we are going to get into a word around the campfire in my mind. It's about the MCU, but before I do that, please like, comment, share, subscribe, and support the podcast. You can check me out on all forms of social media. You can check me out on my link tree, or you can link up to everything that I'm doing, from TikTok to YouTube, Twitch, you name it, I do it, I'm all there. You can also check out the Late for the Party merch on teespring.com, you guys. Check it out. It's all in the description on my social media if you are already following me. But if you're not, you can check me out, like I said, on Linktree/LateForTheParty, where you can get all one-stop shopping of everything to your podcasting listening pleasure, the sight of my beautiful face, and whatnot. So, let's get into it. So, word around the campfire. Disney is pulling an audible on the current events that's going on in the MCU. Now, don't get me wrong, that's pretty much they're saying that Phase 4 has been somewhat of a lackluster phase right now. Coming from Phase 1 through 3, you could not go wrong. There was going to be some point in time to where something was eventually going to start fizzling out. So, from what sources have been saying, that Marvel, Disney has been stepping in recently to actually get quantity over quality over quantity, pretty much. So, that pretty much stating that the stuff that's been going on with the CGI stories, all of that stuff has been kind of not been hitting as of late. I mean, considering the fact that things have been going on, I mean, except for maybe like a few exceptions, maybe like, and I'm going to be 100% honest, like everything that's been going on in the MCU thus far, maybe a handful of things that I actually personally like that actually was kind of cool. But everything else was kind of like, eh. You know? Like, I could say I could pull, like, maybe a few things out of the series to me that, I mean, out in Phase 4 that I liked personally. One, No Way Home. No Way Home was a pretty much a love letter to all the Spider-Man movies, and they've done it pretty freaking well. They've done it pretty freaking well, to where honestly, I'm not even mad at it. I'm actually happy that they did what they did for that movie, and they did it in stride. They didn't make anything feel alienated or isolated. And this is what I was saying in the whole thing in a couple of episodes that I've done thus far about just how when you're writing a story and you're treating the characters and the source material with respect. You know what I'm saying? To where No Way Home, knowing that the other Spider-Man movies came out, you know, like with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield ones, they didn't make them feel isolated or alienated. They were all on equal terms. They all felt, even though different on the way they're styled, but they share a common ground. So I respect that. And they came at it with respect, and I'm glad that they did that, you know? So it didn't feel like they were being disrespected in any way. You know, out of, like, even for the love for... Even for the, like, you know, even Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man didn't really get that much love like Tobey Maguire's, but they still gave him enough respect to where they didn't, like, bastardize him. Not like how current MCU films has bastardized plenty of characters. I mean, plot and everything. Which, I mean, comes to the point to where I'm a little worried about a lot of other movies that's been, we still got a couple of movies we gotta worry about. But, we still got a few movies we gotta worry about still. Like, there, we still have Guardians of the Galaxy, which I'm kind of worried about myself. Like, with Adam Warlock being in the movie. Kind of segueing from the other films that were going on, but I'm a little worried because we're talking about quality over quantity, and I feel like they're just trying to compile and add everything on to where it's just basically filler. It's not even necessary. Like for instance, with the whole Ironheart situation, she really didn't have to be in Wakanda forever. She really didn't do nothing for the story, nothing. And I already spoke about how I felt what they could have did with Wakanda Forever. That would have, to me personally, would have made it a better rating than what I gave it a 7. I think with how I approached it and how they, it was literally right at the hands of their, like, right in their fingertips. So I don't understand how, well, I mean, like I said, people are going to get, we're going to get disappointed one way or the other. So honestly, it was kind of a moot point at this point. But with adding characters into stories that honestly would have fit more in the earlier films than it would in the later films. For example, I am a diehard Adam Warlock fan. You know what I'm saying? Since he came out in the comic books. You know, since he plays a very, very big role in the Infinity Saga in general, which they clearly keep him out of. Honestly, because if you really think about it, Vision, to some degree, was playing the role of how Adam Warlock really came to be in the MCU. How Adam Warlock was created by the High Evolutionary in the comic books to become... Oh, shit. Woo. Damn, sorry. To become the perfect being. All perfect on any level whatsoever. Strength, speed, ability, all of that. The only thing was, he had no conscience. Like, he didn't have, like, he was on a balance between good and evil. So he didn't really fall in any alignment. He was neutral. That's where he wound up having characters that split from him, like the Goddess and Magus. So, and I'm dipping into, like, comic book lore and everything, but like I said, how the MCU has been treating Phase 4 and introducing certain elements like new characters like the Eternals and, you know, characters like Ironheart and Adam Warlock and whatnot, and I think that's a bad call. And just how they introduced Namor. You know, like, does it really fit the narrative? Honestly, and I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I feel like they shouldn't have put Namor in Wakanda Forever. Because honestly, it kind of takes away everything that was going on in the film. I think if they were going to do that, Wakanda Forever should have been more of an internal issue. T'Challa's dead, the throne is open, you know, there's a lot of internal beef going on with the other tribes, you know. A mystery villain has been trying to dip into the situation and get into the vibranium, and since there's no more heart-shaped herbs, you know, they could have done so much more shit rather than add Namor to the mix, because honestly, let's just be real, you fucking killed fucking Shuri and T'Challa's mother. You think I'm gonna just sit there and take that shit? Oh, hell no. Even if I'm just trying to be on the good side of shit. No, fuck that. That was a cop out. I couldn't see him in any other film later down the line knowing that he killed. It's like Loki. All the fucking people he killed, he's not a good guy. He killed almost 82 people within 2 days. That was off of the Avengers movie when Black Widow was talking to Thor. He's adopted? That was funny. But either way, I'm gonna get off the hook real quick because I have a mission ahead of me. But this is part two. This is part one. I mean, I will get to part two in a little bit, so just hang tight and I will be with you shortly.